your surfboards, bring your bathing suits, bring your pool noodles. It's the start of summer. Hey, everybody. Yes, summer. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. Yes, pool noodles. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Congeniality himself, Chris Schaefer, the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, it's the start of summer. What are you doing talking to me? You should be taking your girls to the pool. What's going on? What are you doing for summer, buddy?
Well, I'm trying to pay for a pool, Jason. That's what I do day in and day out, working with AdWords.
Dad mode.
You know,
dad yeah, mode, straight trying, bringing it down.
Trying to be responsible. You know, every day I work, Okay. Every day I'm hustling, and I'm trying to make a dime so I can pay for the girls to have a little bit of water and some food on their table. But that's not what we're talking about today, though. What we're talking about is how people can put food on other people's tables. How about that transition?
Wow. Podcaster skill. Yeah, podcaster skill right there. Before we talk about, screw the reviews. You know, I'll read them next week. But guys, we're at 96. We're almost to 100. Let's go. Get us to 100.
Read,
so we appreciate
one.
You guys reviewing.
Read one.
You want me to read one?
Yeah. Especially one that's focused on you.
All right. It's going to take a second, so I don't want to spring this on the world because I don't know how god-awful it's going to be. But Chris, can you do a little filler, a little small talk for
us? Okay, yeah. So I'm going to tell you guys, if you follow me on Twitter, which you can find me by looking, and you'll see that on Father's Day, I decided, you know, I didn't want to spend any time with the family, which is what Father's Day is all about, and I wanted to be... alone, working with my hands. So I went out to the back pasture and built a ladder that went over the fence.
I've got a review here. So.
Okay. Oh, that was it. That's all I got. Okay, great.
We'll finish that.
Thanks so much for the time.
Finish that story next time. Mm-hmm. Remind me to definitely bring that up.
Sure, definitely.
Yeah, okay. So let's read a review here from Renee. 5 stars. Oddly, she titles the review, yes. Don't know where she got that. I'm finally caught up with all 106 episodes of the best AdWords podcast
ever.
Wow,
106. Way to go.
It's been over 50 hours of binge listening to Chris and Jason in the last month, and I feel like I have a master's degree in AdWords.
Wow.
If she really had a master's degree, she would do a capital W on the word AdWords.
Oh, boy.
That's neither here nor there. Before listening to this podcast, I thought I was pretty good at AdWords, lowercase w. Probably weren't. With a few months of experience under my belt. Boy, was I wrong. Okay, she knows it. Chris and Jason give real-world examples and scenarios, plus they explain the details that make up a successful PPC campaign. And best of all, the jokes. There's Brangelina, and then there's Jason and Chris equals, I don't know, LOL. Keep it up, guys. You got a fan here, Renee. Renee, thank you very much for the review. Those reviews help a ton. And that's how iTunes shares the show and people find out about it. So thank you very much for taking the time to do that, Renee. We're glad you're enjoying the show.
Yeah. Wow. 50, that many hours in a month. That's amazing. You feel like you probably could recognize our voice in a crowd of strangers at this point. That's amazing. Yeah, so, well. All right, Jason. So today we're talking about restaurants. Before the show, Jason and I were talking a little bit and talking about the last time we did a restaurant build. And Jason and I both have, you know, worked with restaurants before, but it's been, I don't know, it's been maybe 5, 7, 8 years since I did my last restaurant, and there weren't a whole lot before that. And Jason, I know it's been a while for you as well. For those that are listening, I think if you are a part of a restaurant or have a restaurant client, I think there is a really unique opportunity for what we're going to discuss because it's the Wild West of the restaurant advertising business. There's not many companies that do it. You go out there and you see, you know, Yelp, and you see, you know, the Google local listings, and you see all these other places that, you know, are aggregates of these local restaurant businesses. But in the end, they're really missing out on a way to truly carve their message out without having a third party vendor, you know, showing what other people thought of the restaurant through reviews and pictures that they can't really control. So I think this is a great opportunity, Jason. I like the idea, and I think this is going to be a great way for us to share a good way for a notable restaurant, a restaurant who knows what customers they want to bring in, and provide honest money in the register, cash register, whatever. it's going to provide results is what I'm going for. Don't stop my flow.
Yeah. You know, I think if anyone was to do a Google search, like steakhouses in my, whatever your city is, or restaurants near me, or Mexican restaurants near me, or whatever, you probably won't see that many ads. And that's not because you can't run ads on these keywords. It's just because a lot of people have not chosen to try to do this. We think there's a lot of opportunity out there. So, Chris, we're just going to go through this restaurant as if we were building one out for a client and kind of give our insights on each part of the AdWords experience and build here. So I think it all starts, Chris, with the conversation about what your goals are. And I came up with some goals for different types of restaurants. You may want to run AdWords ads to get reservations. You may want to run AdWords ads to fill up like a party rental space you have at your restaurant, or fill up your catering calendar. We know that's one of the most profitable things for restaurants is catering. Do you have specific events you're trying to promote, like football Sundays at your bar? One time I worked for a restaurant, Chris, and their big thing was brunch. They were downtown in Oklahoma City. There's a lot of business travelers, and they were trying to promote brunch on the weekends. Or not business travelers, but just travelers coming through Oklahoma City for the weekend brunch. Football Sunday at the bar, whatever your special events are. But then there's brand awareness, getting in front of a lot of people for not that much money. And then there's just foot traffic, trying to fill up your restaurant. And I have a client right now that's trying to do that with a bar. And Chris, I had not had a restaurant or a bar in so long that I had to call Google and ask, can you advertise on keywords like bars near me, bars in Oklahoma City? And you can. With alcohol, it's like as long as you're not promoting the what some people would call the benefits of alcohol, like as long as you're not saying like get drunk and have fun, get drunk and loosen up, you're able to advertise on AdWords as long as you stick to like bars near me, clubs in Oklahoma City, stuff like that. So whatever your goals are, I think that's the most important thing. Chris, do you think there's anything else for restaurants, or is that pretty much it? Like fill it up and try to promote whatever events you have.
Yeah, I think as always, the first things you want to think about with, you know, establishing goals is put it in coordination with your budget. Don't put your goals above your budget. If you have $300 that you're going to spend a month, do not open it up nationally. Do not try and start saying, don't start immediately doing, I want to do lunch and I want to also focus on catering and I want to try to bring in Christmas corporate bookings. You know, whoa, slow it down there, compadre, because that's just too much. You coordinate your budget with your goals and then you go from there. If it works good on your primary, open up your budget a bit more, then conquer goal number two and goal number three.
That's a great point, Chris. And I think in terms of campaign structure, having your goals dictate your campaign structure, I think is a good thing. So if you have a catering goal, have a catering campaign and have that with its own budget. If you have a football Sunday goal, have a football Sunday campaign with its own budget. So that said, you get into the settings of whatever campaigns you make here, Chris. The first thing I want to talk about here is the bidding settings, how to bid. What I came up with, Chris, from my recollection, is that the keywords for restaurants are fairly cheap. I could see them being a dollar, maybe under a dollar, up to $3, something like that. But it's going to be fairly cheap. I would start off with either manual, going with like $1 to $3 bids and seeing how that performs for the first few days. Or for something like restaurants, Chris, I really think maximized clicks, automated bidding, just to start it off, because you know the clicks are going to be cheap, is a good place to start.
Yeah. A lot of times, Jason and I talk a lot about conversion tracking. You know, make sure when you choose bidding, you're going to choose your best converting keywords at the top, push bids on those. A lot of that goes out the window on this because you're not going to get conversion tracking. People are not going to fill out their menu online and order online. You're not going to be able to know when someone clicks and then gets directions and comes, you know, maybe there are some ways to track how many people request directions directly from your ad. But if they go to your website or they go to, you know, whatever page you're sending them to, this is not a conversion tracking system. So what Jason's referring to is maximize clicks. We're not talking about maximize conversions. This is not a conversion focused type of thing. This is more of a cheap awareness and actionable thing that's done, but you can't really know for sure. The only thing I would say, if you're looking to really track what people are coming from AdWords, offer a coupon with a specific code or way that you can track to know that they came from a specific page on your site or some specific offer that you know that they came directly from a paid ad in that way. So just to clarify what Jason is talking about on bidding.
Yeah, so then we like opening things up to all languages. If someone's browser is in Urdu or whatever, or Spanish, but Urdu. They search steakhouses in Oklahoma. Yeah, deep cut right there.
Deep cut.
I speak Urdu.
Do you? No, that was bad. Oh, please cut that.
I would punch you in the face right now if we were in the same room. So yeah, open it up to all languages because it doesn't matter what their browser is set in. As long as they're searching for your word, Mexican restaurants in Oklahoma City, steakhouses in Oklahoma City, why not show to them? So open it up to all languages. And then a couple tough things here, Chris. Location and time of day. And I think location and time of day and schedule is going to be radically different for all types of restaurant advertisers. There's really no right answer here because you want to talk location, Chris. Do you want to target just a certain part of town because people don't drive across the whole Houston metro just to go to a Chili's when there's a Chili's close to them, you know? Do you want to target people searching about your location to get business travelers who are going to be coming into your area? And then time of day, do you want to show just when you're open or do you want to show when you're not open so people can plan to go see you? What would your advice be on location and time of day and schedule, Chris?
You know, I mean, I feel like my suggestion is you weren't doing AdWords before. Why suddenly do you have this messiah complex of trying to reach every single person out there that's potentially searching for you? You weren't doing anything before. Now you're starting a campaign to try and advertise for it. Go with what you know works well. Go with that 11 to 2 time or 11 to 1. Push for those hours when you know people are hungry and they're looking right at that moment. You know, that's my thoughts. You know, maybe from like 11 to 8 at night or something like that, 11 to 9. I mean, if you do, you know, lunch and dinner. But my thoughts are keep it as limited as you can because you're going to get a lot of clicks. I mean, there's going to be a lot of traffic for stuff like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can be a really easy way to waste a lot of money because you just don't have a way to really track what's working.
Yeah, I think usually our mindset with Google AdWords campaigns is to start big so we can get lower cost per clicks and you can always shrink it down. Like we're always telling people don't target in too small of an area and that kind of thing. But when it comes to restaurants, it's such a local thing most of the time that you want to maybe start smaller and you can always go bigger. So I would definitely, like Chris is saying, as a restaurant owner, you know the times where people come to your restaurant. And so if you're a lunch place downtown, advertise from the morning to the end of the lunch hour for people searching for lunch. If you're a steakhouse and you know you get a lot of business travelers coming through, maybe run a national campaign and have keywords like steakhouses in Dallas, if you're a Dallas steakhouse, and make the search have to have the word Dallas or downtown Dallas or whatever, and you can get national traffic looking to travel to Dallas that way. This is why each campaign has to have its own goal. Because if you have the foot traffic campaign, it's going to be around your little area in town. If you have the business travelers coming in campaign, it's going to be maybe national and people searching about your city. So let your goal dictate your location and time of day. Now, Chris, the final thing with the settings, I put NIC Chris. You don't know what that means on our notes here.
No, I don't.
And I wanted to call you out, strip you down, and just put it out there in front of everybody.
Wow.
NIC Chris stands for New Interface Challenge Chris.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
We have a new interface. The end times are near, everybody. We're getting from emails from Google saying July 10th, it's all over. No more flipping back, Jason.
The apocalypse is coming.
You are going to be in the new interface. And you know what? That's the direction they're going in. And so if they're going in that direction, we're going in that direction. Got to do it. So in the new interface, there's a lot of good things in there, Chris. And next week, we're going to be talking about things we love and things we're missing. So look for that, everybody. But in the new interface, Chris, in the settings, age, income, gender, these are demographics on search campaigns. And you know what, Chris? They're very prominently featured now in the new interface. They're very easy to control. And I'm challenging you, Chris, with this new interface to start taking demographics seriously. Mm. My clients, when I talk to them, they love hearing about demographics. They know their target customers. They know their age. They know their gender. They know their income bracket, and they love playing around with those settings. They don't just want leads from Google, Chris. They want quality leads that turn into customers. So I'm challenging you to start taking age, income, and gender seriously, because we know you don't from the past. You were always like, oh, it's all about keywords. It's all about search terms. This is what makes Google so great. This is the different thing about Google. But Chris, now we're combining it, okay? Keywords and the person behind the keyword searching for those keywords. So think about what I'm saying. Let it soak in. Are you going to, would you please start taking these things seriously? What do you think about that?
I think that's entirely, and I agree with you. And I have for some clients, but we're talking about restaurant here, and I absolutely would not take it seriously for restaurant, because most of the restaurants are going to fit in that
body.
Because
what about a steakhouse where poor people don't go, Chris?
Okay,
we know you don't relate to these people.
I know this is probably
eating at a steakhouse 7 days a week. I know you eat red meat 7 days a week. You think poor people go to steakhouse? Why would a steakhouse advertise to 18 to 24-year-olds? It's not prom night every night of the year, buddy.
Take a handful of restaurants out there. Most of them are reaching out to the average, I hate this phrasing, but middle-class America, right? Which is everybody.
Okay,
it's
okay.
It's not the high-end stuff. Most of the stuff is a Mexican place, a burger place, a taco place, you know, maybe an ice cream place, something like that. It's usually, you know, if you want to have a successful restaurant, if you're just starting and you're needing to advertise on AdWords, it's likely that...
Okay, now he's a restaurant consultant, everybody.
But no, I'm serious. I mean, for restaurants, absolutely. I'm gonna throw it out the window. I don't care about demographics, and I'm going to say it. Unless you're really only interested in women of the age of 35 to 45. I mean, come on. No way.
Fair point. Most restaurants are for most people, the middle class out there. But what about the steakhouse, Chris? Let's get real here. What about the steakhouse trying to get business travelers? Will you at least please entertain the idea that these can be good strategies? Oh, you people are coming into Dallas on business travel looking for a steakhouse, and you only want people in the top 20% of income? Let's see what happens.
No. Nope, because no, I won't. Because I contest that people would search, if they're looking for something nice, they would say steakhouses that take reservations, nice steakhouse, okay. VIP okay. Steakhouse. I'm going to say they're going to put it in your search. Just because I am of a certain wealth zip code of where I live, mm-hmm. or my gender is mm-hmm. a certain thing, that is nothing mm-hmm. about me individually. So no, I'm not even going to give you that. No. Move on.
Okay, well... Someone has been so successful with keywords and AdWords for so many decades,
that
it's hard to change. And I
crazy.
Get
crazy. Okay,
it's hard to change, and I get that, Chris. But you know what? You and I are going to go in there together. We're going to look at your demographic data. At least we have the data now. It's going to break out the data very cleanly. You don't have to go look for it in the certain areas of AdWords. It's just going to put it there, and we'll look at the conversion rates. But as you say, with restaurants, we're not going to have many conversions. So unfortunately, neither of us will be able to prove the other one is wrong,
and we'll and that's
just
the way I
hate
like
each
it.
Other on the inside. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to get back to the NIC, Chris, New Interface Challenge, Chris, and we're going to talk a lot about the demographics here in the upcoming episodes. Chris,
oh, I'm so excited.
So, yeah, do whatever you want to do with demographics, everybody. So now we're getting into ad groups, Chris, and ad groups is where it really gets fun, especially when you're not doing single keyword ad groups, because you can come up with a handful of different topics you want to advertise about with the different keywords, and you don't have to have the stress of knowing you're going to have 60 different ad groups because you're still hung up on skags like it's 2010. All right, Chris, I was the skag king. I was the king of skaggers. I was skagging every day. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
But I don't do that anymore because it's not effective. It's not a good use of your time. So, Chris, brand for restaurants. Protect the brand. There's nothing wrong with this. It's going to be super cheap. You can get your message out to people. If you have a new style of food you're offering, if you have a new catering service you're offering, you can put it big fat there in the brand ads for everyone to see. So I think brand is always a good place to start. Alternatively, Chris, we don't talk a lot about this on this show, but competitor advertising,
yeah.
It's not a very nice thing to do. But in the restaurant game, if someone's searching for the classic Mexican restaurant in town that everyone knows and searches for because it's been there for 40 years, and you're the new Mexican restaurant in town and you want people to at least know that you're an option and maybe closer to them, showing up on your competitors' names may not be a bad thing.
Yeah, just a couple things on this. If you're going to do competitors, make sure it keeps the spend, I would say at least is like no more than 50%, 25% might be even better. Keep it low. Don't blow out your budget on competitors because you'll get a bunch of people that are calling saying, hey, can we get directions? Or, hey, we need to change our booking, or, hey, my server charged me more than he was supposed to. You don't want to get those calls because they're trying to reach a competitor and they clicked on your ad. So just important right. stuff there. But next, what I do like, Jason, is when we go after the near me stuff. Mexican food near me, pizza near me, pizza that delivers, you know, best burger joints nearby, stuff like that. You know, the geographic targeting is going to be incredibly important for a restaurant campaign. So be sure and hit, you know, the near me, the neighborhood terms, and the city terms.
Yes. And Chris, I was just talking to a moving client the other day, and they were talking about Boston, and they were like, well, what about the different neighborhoods in Boston? Should we target those as keywords? And I was like, probably not, because people don't really search for neighborhoods with moving company. They would search for, if they're in a suburb of Boston, they'll definitely use that name. But if they're in Boston, they'll pretty much search Boston moving companies. But with restaurants, Chris, people do search for the parts of town. So in Oklahoma City, there's a trendy part of town called Bricktown. And people definitely will be searching for restaurants in Bricktown when they travel there or if they work there. Restaurants in downtown Indianapolis. Restaurants south Oklahoma City. Restaurants in Edmond, a suburb of Oklahoma City. So people will definitely search for those little neighborhoods because they don't want to travel far during lunch hour or from their home at night or whatever. So location keywords, think pretty deep there. The next ad group here, Chris, is type. So this is the type of restaurant you are. So this would be if you're a Mexican restaurant, keywords like Mexican restaurants. I mean, there's not that many ways to search it, but if you're steakhouses in Oklahoma City, steakhouses near me, it's the type of restaurant you are. So that's probably going to be one of your most profitable ad groups, is people looking for the type of restaurant you are. Next ones, Chris, are a lot of people wouldn't think of this, but I do think some people search for it, specialties that your restaurant offers. So restaurants with great martini menus, martinis in Oklahoma City, martini bars, Oklahoma City, best salad bar, Oklahoma City, restaurants with great salad bars near me, best salad yeah. bars near me, just whatever your specialty is.
Jason, I like it, and I like the direction it's going, but I want to say, for people who are hearing you say this, what you're actually pushing against is people just having keywords like restaurants, Oklahoma City, right? We're talking about specialties here. We've talked about geographic targeting. We've talked about specialties, type of restaurant, steakhouse, Mexican, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What we're not advocating is just, especially if you have a small budget, going after just restaurants nearby, you know, places to eat nearby.
This is why people love, why they love the show, because the beef, the drama. I do have it in my notes here, the generic ad group, the restaurants near me, restaurants Oklahoma City. Now, Chris, I'm talking 15-cent bids to start out. I'm talking 25-cent bids just to see what you can get. And this is maybe a restaurant's coming to me. They have investors. They've got to fill the place up. They have a $5,000 a month budget. They've allocated that.
Okay, sure.
It's an option on the table. Now, I agree with you completely. If you have a $300, $500, $1,000 a month budget and you can spend it on your neighborhood keywords, your type of restaurant you are, keywords, your brand, that's all prioritized over this. But it's always worth trying it out. Just try it out. If someone's searching for a restaurant, if you have a little budget to try it out, just try it out.
Stop that.
If you want to advertise, if you want to try it on restaurants near me, maybe it'll work, Chris. I'm not saying it's going to work most times, but in my work, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. It's like we said at the very top, this is all based on budget. Yeah. I wish we could color code some of our conversations because, you know, green light, red light on stuff like this. If you have very little budget and you're trying you're trying to do something with $100, you know, so forget it.
Yep.
So next thing we talk about is the specialty type of stuff, catering, event hosting, corporate banquets. You know, you have a special room that you can rent out. This is great stuff. I think when it comes down to it, this is where most restaurants are probably going to be interested because this is the moneymaker. This is the stuff that you can bring in and get rentals and parties. And it's not just, you know, food on plates, but it's, you know, this is an event where they're going to rent a room for a whole evening. So, I mean, this is definitely good stuff.
Yeah. And think about catering, Chris. Think about the ticket size. So if you and I go to a restaurant and we each get a $10 meal, it's like $20 ticket. But if you cater for an event of 100 people, that's where restaurants can make a ton of money. And I would do things like, I'm in Oklahoma, Chris. I've been out on an oil rig when I used to work for an oil and gas company, and they catered the meal that day. A barbecue place came out there. So maybe someone in Oklahoma City is searching for oil and gas caterers or rig caterers. You could have a prom ad group, restaurants for prom, and just let it sit there. And then once a year, you'll see the traffic spike in it around the spring. But you'll be there and no one else will be there. So whatever your specialties are, whatever your service lines, definitely target those in AdWords. And those are really the closest to our normal B2B, B2C customers, Chris, who have service lines like that. So after you have your ad groups here, Chris, you punch in your keywords. It's not that hard. You put in a keyword, like if it's a catering ad group, you go catering restaurants, Oklahoma City, caterers near me, catering Oklahoma City. And then what Chris and I like to do in the old interface is use the big red button. May not be around in the new interface, and we'll talk about that next week. But really, Chris, you're just punching in your keywords. You're trying out your match types. I would definitely, for a restaurant where the cost per click is so low, I would be going looser match types at first.
Definitely.
Possibly trying out broad.
Yeah, I wouldn't pack my ad groups full of exact and phrase.
Yeah,
just because this is, you know, there's a lot of different ways people can search for stuff like this. And you're going after, you know, if the cost per click is low, don't be afraid to open it up. But with that said, we have to talk about the next part, Jason. What's important is that you block the stuff you don't want, because if you're going after cheap and you're using some broad stuff, you know, you're testing some broad, some modified broad too, you're going to want to make sure you block the stuff it's going to be the research type of stuff. Recipes, ingredients, and jobs and hiring and resume and stuff like that. So these are the types of things that are research level. Jason, I'm sure you have other ideas too. I would suggest you at least hit 10, 15, 20 keywords in the negative keyword list to start.
I was thinking 50 to 100. I mean, you got to, like Chris, all I do during my workday is, like, you know, I'm 473 pounds. You know, I love food. I just sit there and I Google like grilled steaks, chicken sandwich recipes, like all this kind of stuff all day long. I just drool. Yeah. And Chris, I mean, there's so many crazy searches people can do with food. Jobs, hiring, how to start a restaurant, who owns this restaurant, restaurant funding, famous actors have restaurants, ingredients, recipes. There's so much stuff. So I would just take 20 minutes, play around with Google searches, and try to get some negative keyword ideas for sure.
Definitely. All right. So we already talked about bids. You know, just to hit on that again, what we're going to focus on bids is, since this is low cost, keeping it on possibly maximized bids. If you're more comfortable with manual bidding, then go for it. But again, we want to go cheap on this, because no click is going to be worth $4. This is not a $4 type of thing unless you're booking, you know, unless you're doing a catering, which, Jason, I think we should probably clarify. This is not really a discussion about a catering restaurant business. This is more about restaurant, sit down and eat kind of restaurant, right?
Unless they have, well, this is how to grow your restaurant with AdWords. So, like, unless you have that line, you have catering. But yeah, think about the result of that click. And if a catering could lead to a $1,000, $2,000 bill or more, or repeat business with a company in town, pay more for those keywords. And you can try it out and you'll see where your bids go. And you'll put $4 bids on catering and you may not get any traffic because your position is a 5 or 6 and your search impression share is only 10, 20%. And then you go, okay, I need to raise my bid. So and that's why automated bidding might be a good place to start.
I'm going to say we jump straight to the good stuff here, because I think this next thing, the ad extensions are going to be absolutely golden for a restaurant. Okay. A couple things. I think linking your Google My Business, I think, is incredibly important. Not because I think Google My Business is a critical tool for restaurants.
I do.
I think it, shut up,
I
Jason.
Love Google My Business.
Because I think, not because it's, I think it's like some amazingly thing that'll make your business succeed. Because of one thing that it does in AdWords is it shows your address. It shows your address in your ad. That is why we're talking about linking your Google My Business, and that's the name of the tool, Google My Business, with your AdWords and making sure you have a profile set up in that system. Jason, what other ad extensions you a fan of?
If you're the marketing manager for a restaurant and you're trying to convey the value of AdWords to the restaurant owner, linking Google My Business, what you can do is you can segment out your click types and you can actually see how many people click for driving directions and how many people click to get the location details and look at it on the map. So that's huge. And similar, I can't say that word, call extension, Chris. You can see how many people call into your business. With the calls from ads, people would call in to make reservations, see what time you open and stuff like that. So definitely have the call extension. Definitely have website call tracking on there. That's a no-brainer. Message extension, if you guys take text messages, you'll get some from that. Site links are perfect for restaurants. Mm-hmm. Menu, link to the menu, link to pictures, link to hours.
Yeah, the site link extensions could be great for really focusing on specific menu types or categories, you know, different desserts and appetizers and stuff. You know, it really fills out your ad. And here's the thing,
especially on brand.
If you have a website that, you know, only has like one or two pages, you won't be able to use SiteLink extensions. It might be worth setting up this really crappy page that just has a couple pictures or something that talks about your desserts and a couple pictures that talks about your appetizers. And this is literally for one purpose. It's just to make sure that ad has every aspect of a ad extension that you can make use of. In order to do that, you have to have extra pages to link to. So that's the purpose of it. It takes up what we call screen real estate. It takes up more room on the screen, on the phone, on the laptop, on the computer. And right. That's the purpose behind it.
And don't forget to put descriptions in your site links, because if you have descriptions on brand ads, Chris, those things will blow up the space of your ad. And you can basically use almost any extension, price app if you have a restaurant app, promotions if you want to promote a certain deal, call outs, all that stuff applies to restaurants. As far as ad copy goes, Chris, I mean, restaurants know what their ad copy needs to be, whatever your goals are. Have people, the call to action, book a reservation. If it's brand awareness, just put in features of your restaurant. Everyone knows, you know, their own ad copy. And the final part of a restaurant growing their business on AdWords, Chris, is display. And this is, I really think every restaurant should be doing this, because it's so cheap to get in front of so many people. You can do remarketing on display, Chris. You can do brand awareness ads on display under keywords. So like you can put in Mexican restaurants as a keyword, Mexican recipes, taco recipes, and then people who are looking at pages about that kind of food can see your ad there, know you're an option in town. Okay. And then they have topics, Chris. They have different cuisines. So it's like they have the pages about Mediterranean cuisine, Hispanic cuisine, all those different types of food. They have dining guide topics, fine dining, affinity. You can target foodies. And then all that kind of stuff you can do on YouTube as well with demographics and really build brand awareness. And the beautiful thing, Chris, it doesn't have to be in a wide location. You can build brand awareness in like a 3-mile radius around your restaurant and just target those people over and over. And if you spend $100 a month or a couple $100 a month, you can really rack up tons of impressions. And like we always say, you maybe won't be able to get into the TV game for just a couple $100 a month.
Yeah, there's a definite thick red line that keeps you from crossing over from being able to serve, you know, 500,000 impressions on AdWords for, you know, just a few $100s and, you know, versus showing, you know, a TV ad, which would cost you $500,000, I think is the going price nowadays. So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity here. Like I said at the beginning, this is a place Jason and I both see and a lack of advertising. I think if you're in the restaurant business, and for you, you know, aspiring AdWords managers out there, perhaps you take what we've said here and you reach out to some restaurants and put this into action. You know, there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's not a whole lot of restaurants that use this tactic. And I think when there's a hole in the AdWords community for a specific industry or type of business, you know, this is a great way to get a leg up, because when you're only one out there, you're going to be the first result. You're not going to have to outbid the guy below you. It's just to say it, just because I don't want to get any emails. It does not mean you will pay 1 cent. There is a standard industry level at which Google will not allow certain ads to show. So just, don't email us and say, I'm the only guy up there. Why am I paying 15 cents? It should be 1 cent. Listen, Mr. Sarcastic Weird Voice Man, that is not the case. So anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox here. And Jason, I'd like for you to say goodbye nicely and not weirdly, and tell everybody what they should do.
Goodbye, and thanks for listening to the show. Please click the like button. Please subscribe. And man, we really appreciate you guys listening. So if you could share the show, that would be great. And if you want to send us any kind of food gift certificates in the mail, we would love that. So
definitely.
Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next time on the Paid Search Podcast. It's summer. Pool noodles.